Isaiah chapter 64, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 768. This morning we will read responsively verses 1 through 6, with special note given to the fourth verse, the text verse for this morning's message. Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 6, page 768. And may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And let's pray. Father, we need, of course, your blessing, your presence with us in this morning's service. We're thankful for your word. Thank you for preserving it. Thank you that we're privileged and free to carry copies of it with us. And now we are privileged together here freely for the preaching of your word. Bless in this hour. Surely we'll be accountable for what we hear. And may we hear carefully. In Jesus' name, amen.
I thought of that song when I was on New Year's Day when I was out at the cemetery and spent some time walking through the little pastoral garden out there where many of our folks' bodies are resting. And I made some notes about each one that I remembered and thanked God for their lives and for the memory of what they've done for me and for the church and for their Lord. I try not to forget those who've gone. I do not believe it's fair for us to keep them from our memories and our minds. I'm going to just, you don't have to turn to it again, you read it a while ago, one verse. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived with the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. I also could take as my text this morning that famous, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to speak this morning on the subject, God works for those who wait. God works for those who wait. If I ask you this morning to explain what it means to wait on the Lord, hardly anybody in this room would come close. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? I want to talk on that subject this morning. God works for those who wait. Our Heavenly Father, Thou hast brought us to this place by divine appointment. Nobody stumbled in here by accident. There are no uh-ohs in this room this morning. We are here by divine appointment. And Thou hast appointed that we should hear what Thou hast appointed that this Thy servant should speak. May I speak according to divine appointment, and may my people hear the message. Amen. Let me tell you a good New Year's resolution. The Bible says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit is going to speak to the church this morning through God's servant. Let me tell you a good New Year's resolution. Not to miss a single service in 1985. And not to miss a single word in 1985. I don't mean being in its presence. I mean listening to it and savoring it and trying to understand it. So often in the Scriptures, we have the word waiting or wait. He works for them that wait for Him. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now just what is waiting upon the Lord? Now listen. If waiting upon the Lord is the way to run and not be weary, I want to know what it means. I want strength. I want physical strength. I want emotional strength. I want mental strength. And if the Bible says the way to gain that strength is by waiting on the Lord, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, you don't have to go to bed every night worn out. You don't have to drag in and say, I'm just exhausted. You have to do that. The Bible says there's a way to have your strength renewed. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now you take all kinds of pills, go to all kinds of doctors, go to all kinds of expense, keep your strength up. But the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The Bible says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They can fly above the burdens of life. They can fly above the quagmire of sin. And they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now listen to me. If waiting on the Lord does all that, think about that, renews my strength, causes me to mount up with wings as an eagle, causes me to run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. If waiting on the Lord does all that, I want to know what waiting on the Lord means. Now what is waiting on the Lord? First place, it is not laziness. It's not you sitting on your blessed assurance saying, I'm not going to go ahead and do anything till God gets here. It's not that at all. A lot of self-styled spiritual people just sit and do nothing and criticize folks that run and do something because they say, he's too hasty, he ought to wait on the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord is not your sitting down being lazy, blaming God for your do-nothingness. Waiting on the Lord is not going to sleep. It is not abandonment of effort. Hear me carefully. Waiting on the Lord is not even tarrying in prayer. Did you hear me? Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe in tarrying in prayer. I believe in all-night prayer meetings. I believe in begging God. I believe in going out in the woods and the pea patch and in the pine thicket and out in the woods and walking with God. But waiting on the Lord is not synonymous with tarrying and all-night praying and so forth. Then what is waiting upon the Lord? Now, I need to have my strength renewed. I'm a busy man. I got a lot going. I pastor this great church. I try to lead the affairs of Howells Anderson College and the Hammond Baptist School System. And I write books. And I counsel. And I pastor. And I travel. And I preach 1,000 sermons a year or more. Now, I've got to have strength. People say to me oftentimes, preacher, where do you get your energy? I'm going to tell you if you'll sit up and listen to me this morning. Where do you get your energy? Where does your strength come from? How can a man 58 years old have your schedule? And I'd challenge any of you 25-year-old fellows to follow me around. I just challenge you to. I'm not bragging. I'm not saying with Caleb, I'm 80 years of age and had the strength to have in his 40. I think he's lying through his teeth. I don't think he's telling the truth. But like what he said. And I'm not bragging on my physical strength this morning. I'm bragging on my God because I'm going to tell you this morning
how you can have strength in 1985. Now, what is waiting upon the Lord? If waiting upon God will do these things for me, give me strength, let me mount up with wings as an eagle, and let me run and not be weary, and let me walk and not faint, then I want to find out what it is. Now, what is it? Waiting on the Lord is this. It is following His last command with all your might. Realizing and being ready for any new command that may come, and believing that it will come. The word waiting here is the word digging a trench. It's a working word. It means don't change what you're doing, keep doing it, and believe the victory is going to come. Say it. I'm talking to folks this morning in this room that have begged God for an answer to prayer for a long time now. And you're about to give up. Waiting on the Lord is not giving up. Waiting on the Lord is keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. It means keep on praying when there is no answer. Listen to me now. What is waiting upon the Lord? It means keep on praying when there is no answer. When you have met every condition of prayer, when you have expected the answer daily for days and it's not come, and you expected the answer for weeks and it has not come, you expected the answer for months and it's not come, and you prayed to God and met every condition of prayer that you know, and you've done it for years and the answer has not come. Waiting upon the Lord is keeping on praying when there is no answer. It's saying, God is going to hear me, and God is going to answer me. He's not doing it as quickly as I wish He would. He's not doing it as quickly as I think He should. But He's going to do it. It is keeping on praying. See, it says they shall walk and not faint. So it's keeping on praying when there is no answer. When you have held Jeremiah 33:3 up to God and said, Dear God, You wrote that. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And you've held it up to God and claimed God's promise. And you've done it again and again and again. And you've claimed the promise of God and the answer does not come. When you've taken John 15:7, you abide in me and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, it shall be given you. And you've taken John 15:7 and squeezed it again and again and again. And you've taken every prayer promise you know in the Bible. And you've come to God and said, Dear God, this is my prayer. And I pray You'd hear me. And you've exhausted every promise in the Bible. And the answer does not come. Waiting upon God is believing the answer is going to come. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God does not meet your timetable. And God is not obligated to meet your timetable. I mean, there's no time with God. God's got plenty of time. And so, you don't have to come and say, Dear Lord, give me this and give me... And let me say this. There's far too much of that anyhow. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. Because I've said so much else I shouldn't say, one more is not going to make any difference. I'm not as impressed when somebody writes in, calls a prayer request in the broadcast and says, and gives a very selfish prayer request. Like, pray that a sister will treat a brother better. Now, if that's the brother who called in the prayer request, that doesn't impress me. If that's a friend that called in the prayer request, that impresses me. But I'm saying, okay, you've prayed. And you've come to God and you've claimed His promises. Others have received their answers, but you've not received yours. You've confessed every sin. You don't know of an unconfessed sin in your life. You've laid yourself bare, transparent before God, and you've said, Dear God, anything, teach me to tell me if there's something unconfessed. And you've confessed every sin. And all of that, you've forsaken every sin you know about. And the honest truth is, you have called on His name. You have called in His name. you have gotten two or more to agree as touching something on earth, claiming the promise that it will be done in heaven, and you have witnessed, you've obeyed God, and you've prayed, and the answer doesn't come. Listen, waiting on God is believing God is good, though the answer hasn't come yet. And waiting on God is believing that God is going to answer, even though He's not yet answered. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. When I think about this, I think of several ladies in our church and ladies that have been through the years. I think of Mrs. Moran. Her husband was unsaved. He was light years from getting saved. I don't know how many times folks asked me to pray for Mr. Moran. And she waited on God, and year after year, days became weeks, and weeks became months, and months became years, and years became many. And no chance or no seeming nearness of salvation. And then toward the end of his life, when he had cancer, one night I went out to their house, out in South Hammond, and I was afraid because he wasn't really nice to preachers. And I walked back in the back room and I said, "Mr. Moran, I want to talk to you about something, the most important thing in all the world for you." And after all those years of waiting on God on the part of Mrs. Moran, Mr. Moran received Christ, and in a few days he went on to heaven. When I think about waiting on God, I think about Mrs. Clifton, who begged God to give her the salvation of, we used to call him Uncle Cease or Uncle Cecil, Mr. Clifton. And how she used to wait on God, and somehow she knew the answer was going to come. And days and weeks and months came, and no answer. Ladies and gentlemen, waiting on God is believing God and trusting God when you can't see why He does what He does. You know what we need? We need a bunch of folks to believe God. We're self-worshippers. If God does not conform to what we think He ought to do, when we think He ought to do it, then we doubt God. Well, why don't you just set up a sign and say, "I am God"? And then, after all those years of waiting and believing, God answered her faith and answered her prayers. I think you or Brother Jim Lyons or both of you led Brother Mr. Clifton to Christ. And now he's in heaven. When I think of waiting upon God and believing God's going to answer when you've prayed and prayed and no answers come, I think of Brother Jorgensen, his father unsaved for many, many years. And just not long before he died, he received Christ as his Savior. Why? Because his son said, "I believe God. I believe God." I think about this. I think of Mrs. Ramsey and her daughter. I think how they prayed for that man sitting there on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th row in the middle here. How they prayed for that man to be saved. And God, Mrs. Ramsey and her daughter would pray and beg God for the soul of their husband and their daddy, and they believed that God was going to save him. And then one day he had a heart attack. They took him down here, St. Margaret's, wasn't it, Brother Ramsey, hospital. And the fella died, and they said, "He's gone. He's dead." And I believe it was your daughter, wasn't it, that got up on his over his body. And she said, "He's not dead. Daddy, you've got to live." And they had prayed all those years and prayed and prayed, and they knew God was going to give the victory. And God brought that man back to life so he could get saved. And there is testimony this morning, a testimony that, listen, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know what we need? We need to get Christianity. I mean, we just need to become Christians again. The fact that God hasn't answered you yet doesn't mean God's not going to answer you. God may want to know if you'll trust Him when you don't understand Him. And God may want to know if you'll believe Him when you can't see His action or understand His action. I'm saying, if you want to be strong, you've got to wait upon God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You can throw away half your vitamin tablets if you listen to me this morning. You can cancel your appointment with a psychiatrist if you'll hear me this morning. I'm going to say a few words about that tonight. I'm going to pay my respects to psychiatrists tonight. If you know any of them, have them come tonight. I'd like to have them here. I'm going to pay my respects to the
nutcrackers and I want to pay my respect to them tonight. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. There are a lot of people in this room who could have strength. I'm talking about physical strength. I'm talking about strength. I'm talking about energy. If you would learn to wait on God. But God's not going to pour His strength out to folks that doubt Him because He doesn't answer when you think He ought to answer. It's keeping on. I've got some prayers. God's going to answer as sure as God be God. I'll guarantee you, I've got some prayers I bombard the throne of grace with every day of my life. And I'll guarantee you God gets tired, I'm sure, of hearing me come to the throne of grace and knock on the door. And I don't know when God's going to answer those prayers. It may be hours when God answers. It may be days. It may be weeks. It may be months. It may be years. But I believe in God. God's going to answer. Just keep on praying. The light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying. The light breaks through. Brother, I'll tell you something. If I die in these requests I'm making to God daily and many times hourly, if I die and the answer's not come, you won't convince me on my deathbed that God didn't send it and it just didn't get there before I died. I'll guarantee you. Or maybe He sent it to the wrong address, but I'll guarantee you He sent it. Oh, for some people that believe God again. Some Christians who believe God. What is waiting on God? You can have strength. You can mount up with wings as an eagle. You can fly above the troubles of the earth. You can fly above the sinful quagmire and the filth of the flesh. You can fly above the burdens of earthbound creatures. If you will wait on God, and you have to wait on God when you keep on praying when there's no answer. What is waiting on God? It means keeping on praying when there's no answer. It means keeping on working when there's no result. Keep on working when there's no result. When you've given it your best shot. When you've gotten up early and stayed up late. When you've done all you know to do. You've not been lazy. And yet you see no results. You see no harvest. You see no reaping. But you'll say it works and God will give results. Oh, I'm so tired of folks turning back. I don't know what to do. I'm so tired of quitters. I'm sick of them. I'm so tired of people walk down an aisle in a church somewhere and say, God's called me to preach the gospel and God's called me to go away to college and come to college. And because you can't get enough pieces of green paper to buy yourself the kind of food you want to eat, you just wash out and go back home. My Bible says that waiting on God is working when there is no results. 26 years ago last August, I walked in the pulpit of First Baptist Church as your pastor for the first time. We were running about 700 in Sunday school, 725. I wanted to have the largest Sunday school in this city so that I could taste it. Right over here at Christian Fellowship Church on 165th Street, they run 1,000. And they had the audacity to put their attendance outside on their sign every Monday morning. I hated them. In Christian love. I don't know why I did it. We'd have 735 on a Sunday, and I knew they had over 1,000, and I don't know why I did it, but I'd always drive down 165th Street. And there it was. Yesterday's attendance, 1,002. I wanted to get out and throw mud balls in the summer and snowballs in the winter. And God knows I gave it all I had. In those days, we didn't have many soul winners. Jim Lyons, who came later to from Texas with me as my associate pastor, Jim Lyons and I went soul winning day after day after day, and he and I alone brought 10 to 15 people down the aisle every Sunday morning in the services of our church. And we worked. And every time we'd get one, we'd lose one. And every time we'd get a new family, we'd lose a family. Every time somebody'd come in, somebody went out. And after a year, I was still driving by that Christian Fellowship Church over there, looking at that sign, and realizing we hadn't got out of the 700 in Sunday school yet. And the second year, believe me when I say this, anything I say about wishing somebody were not successful is facetious and not serious. There's not a preacher alive that yearns for the success of all preachers any more than I do. And there's not a preacher alive that yearns for the success of other fundamental churches any more than I do. But I want to say this. It looked like we couldn't get going. I mean, it took us 3 years. 3 years to get unstuck. What is waiting on God? It's working when you don't see the results. It's keep on. God has results after a while. You know, I tell young couples in this church, if you don't have a child, if I were a young man, and we didn't have any children, if you don't have a child, you just keep on praying and believe in God. And I'd consider buying some baby clothes. Well, you said the doctor said it's impossible. Well, doctors didn't create the universe. You think they did, but they didn't. I expect that Sarah's doctor said no chance. I mean, Sarah, at 90, you're just not going to get pregnant now. Abraham said, want a bet? You're a husband, old man? Yeah. It's impossible. He said, God said it. Go down and buy you a baby bed. Make you a little nursery while you're praying. Keep it there. Well, you said, well, the house. I did that 10 years ago. We haven't got a baby yet. Well, nothing else to keep that room clean.
What is waiting? How can I be strong? How can I get strength? How can I have strength to my labors? How can I mount up with wings as an eagle? How can I run and not be weary? How can I walk and not faint? By waiting on God. What is waiting on God?
Waiting on God is keeping on praying when there's no answer. It means keep on working when there's no result. Third, it means keep on sowing when there's no reaping. What it means in Galatians 6:9, be you not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. And you see, that word, the key is due season. Due season. Didn't say tomorrow you'll reap, you faint not. Didn't say next month, didn't say next year. It said in due season. What does it mean? When God gets ready, He'll give you the results. He'll give you the harvest when God gets ready. For 120 years, Noah built a boat. He was waiting on God. For 7 years, Adoniram Judson went to Burma. For 7 years, they didn't have one convert. Not one. Not one. But they kept on working. They kept on praying. They kept on sowing. You know the story of the great man in Adoniram Judson's work. Years ago, when I became pastor of Morris Chapel Baptist Church of Pagoda, Texas, for 1 year, not one single person walked the aisle into my ministry. Not one. Nobody got saved for 1 year. Nobody got baptized for 1 year. Nobody transferred a membership for 1 year. Nobody walked down the aisle for any reason the first year of my ministry. Not one. I can recall every Sunday afternoon I'd go out soul winning in the country. I'd go up and down those country trails and get out and knock on the doors, those farm doors, and try to lead someone to Christ. It just looked like to me that heaven was brass, and looked like to me that I just tried and I tried and I cried and I cried and I begged and I begged and nobody walked the aisle, and I preached and nobody walked the aisle. You say, what were you doing? I was waiting on God.
It means stay in the battle when there's no victory. It means keep on witnessing when there's no power. It means keep on believing when there is no answer. It means I still believe God even though I do not see any visible results. It means wait for His power while doing the work. It means wait for His next command while continuing at His last command. It means wait for His deliverance when there's no vindication. It means when you cannot see Him, believe He's there. It means when you cannot hear Him, believe He speaks. It means if He never comes, die believing it's on the way. Your child is ill this morning. Your child is seriously ill. You just keep on begging. And you've begged and you've pleaded. You just keep on. And no answer comes. Keep on praying. But if the illness lingers, keep on praying. I think this morning of a man in this church who came to me and told the other night about his wife. A young couple. And that little woman has a disease that absolutely is wringing her body out. She may be here this morning. I know he is. And they're just brokenhearted, and she can't do her work, and she wants to, and she can't be to him what he wants, needs her to be, and she feels, and it just seems like you just keep on praying. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Your loved one is lost, and you wonder. You wonder. Why doesn't God hear me? Dear God, I've prayed for a week. I've prayed as long as 17 years. I mean what I'm saying. I have prayed every day as long as 17 years for a certain answer to a prayer. And I want to serve notice on you this morning, ladies and gentlemen. You know what's the good about this? When God doesn't give it to you right away, and you have to beg and keep on working and keep on praying and keep on believing and keep on sowing, and then one day after years, God gives the answer, it sure is fun. You know what I miss? I miss the old days when we had, I pastored a country church. We only had a few unsaved folks in the neighborhood. I recall we only had 7 prospects in our entire church field. 7 in one church I pastored. Anytime one of those guys came to church, he got it. I mean, boy, he got it. I remember a guy named Lancaster. He was one of those 7 unsaved people. They were scared to come to church. I'd preach a whole sermon to them, whole thing. He'd be sitting back here and I'd say, you're going to go to hell if you don't get right with God. You don't know when you're going to die. And boy, I mean, just bombard him and bombard him. Everybody else is saved but him. I just unload the whole truck right in his lap. And then not only that, after you finish invitation time came. Come on. Come on. Come on. You may not live till tonight. Come on. Come on. Come on. In my subtle way, I would let him know I was talking about him. But that isn't all. Then every nut in the church went to witness to it during the invitation. One guy walked. One day we had one of those sinners came who was a businessman. He walked in, sat down back there during the invitation. Nuttiest guy. I mean, you could make a fruitcake for all of us out of him. Nuttiest guy in the church walked back there and he said, do you want to go to heaven when you die? This wealthy man said, no. He said, then go to hell then. He did. But you know, I mean, the guys, you know, invitation time had come. Every sinner, the sinner would go, here they come. His wife put her arm around him. She'd cry for a while. And then the daughter would come in the back row and she'd put her arm around him and she'd cry. And then the son would come and say, Daddy, I want you to get saved. And all the time I said, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. But you know what? Blessed be God.
when one of those seven prospects that get saved, we had fun. Man, you could hear us shouting for miles and miles around. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. This book is as true as it ever was. Everything that God has ever done, God can still do. I want to tell you something. You just keep on waiting. But while you wait, you keep on praying. And while you wait, you keep on working. And while you wait, you keep on sowing. And while you wait, you keep on believing. I don't do this anymore. I probably should. But years ago, I used to get up and look in the mirror every morning and say 12 times, I believe. I believe, 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 I believe. And I do. I believe in this book and the God of this book. And I believe the God of this book hears my prayers, and I believe the God of this book answers prayer. And I believe the God of this book allows us to reap what we sow. And I believe the God of this book will answer. And I believe the God of this book will give us the harvest. And I believe that eventually the God of this book will give us results. I believe that with all of my soul. So just keep on. God hasn't been very good to me. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. I'm going to turn back. Keep on working. Keep on working. Don't turn back. I wonder how many people have quit right before the answer. I wonder how many people have prayed for years for something and they gave up right before the answer. I wonder how many folks have come to Howells Anderson College, couldn't find work, and have gone back home right the day before they'd have found a job. But I get a little worried about this anyway. I'd rather starve to death in the will of God than be full outside the will of God. And God doesn't have to tell you to stay. God just tells you to go. And you wait on the Lord. What a good time when finally it comes. I could stand here today and I could tell you about wonderful answers to prayer God has given me immediately. I could tell you about some sweet and precious answers to prayer that God has given me within a few days. But I could stand this morning and tell you about times that I've begged and begged and begged and begged and begged and begged. And I've begged till hours became days, and days became weeks, and weeks became months, and months became years, and years became many, many. And I just kept on begging. And I could tell you of the sweet joy of victory that comes when, after waiting upon God, God gives the answer. I don't lay it down in East Texas. Her husband is lost. Lost as a goose. I don't know if geese are all lost, but I guess they are. He was lost as he could be. This old lady, she hobbled around all the time. She's the kind of lady, don't ask her how she felt. She'd tell you, unless you had a whole week off, don't ask her how she felt. And always, she said, I can't lift my arm above my elbow. I can't lift it. And she'd hobble into church like that. And after years and years and years, her husband got saved one night. She raised her hands like this and clapped them. She threw her cane down and she ran around the auditorium. And then as soon as she got through, she came back again. Same way. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is waiting? Waiting is praying when I can't see an answer. Waiting is working when I can't see a result. Waiting is sowing when I cannot see the reaping and the harvest. Waiting is fighting when I see no victory. Waiting is just keeping on, because I believe there's a God in heaven, and I believe He will answer, and He will give the harvest and the results. Just dig in. Dig the trench. Dig in! And keep on serving God with all your heart and wait. Keep on praying with all your might and wait. Keep on sowing with all your might and wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk
and not faint. Our Heavenly Father,